We are constantly marrying, because that's the process society has set up. And then we're having offsprings. Well, the lady that conceives, the man, of course, he's just a little instrument there, don't mean anything. But it's the lady that's got to carry on this situation. What does she know about creating within herself a form that later she will call a daughter or a son? She don't know nothing. She doesn't need to know what makes up a form of a blade of grass. There's no scientists in the world today, even though they study the various phases of human body and the cells in the body and so on and so forth, that still can tell you. What takes place there? How? And yet you must admit there's an intelligence independent of your mind or anybody's mind that knows what to do, and first thing you know, you got a child born to your family. Aren't these things worthwhile studying? To know thyself so well that you know what's going on there? Is it not taking place in your own household? Why shouldn't you know it? Yet, how much time do we get? We say, well, it just happened. That's all. No thought given to it is how it happened and what took place from the time conception took place. And that's a very important. Once you understand that, brother, you'll understand there are many, many reasons for many manifestations. Because you're no different than it being created that way than anything else. See? And then how much freer would you be from the states of uncertainty that we today have to face or do face because of a lack of knowledge or understanding of ourselves mostly and nothing else? Everything here present is ready to be understood if we'll only recognize it and study it. But we must first study ourselves. And we might say here then that what the space brothers or people have brought to us is not much different today than the messiahs of the past. They brought us knowledge too. Take Jesus brought us knowledge that had we lived it, we would be far better off today. Take Muhammad. Take Buddha, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Cheney, and all the others. They brought knowledge, all similar, at different times and different tongues, but the same knowledge. For that which is cosmic and eternal does not change. The cause does not change. The effects do change. Just for an example, the cause of getting, or the principle of getting a commodity from one place to another. A man raised carrots, another man makes shoes. They're 10 miles apart. So the man that wanted shoes would take the carrots and give that man that didn't raise carrots the carrots that he needed. And he got a pair of shoes for it. But he had to walk that 10 miles. That was his means of transportation and bringing the commodity he had raised to the ones that needed it. And getting commodities from them back in return. Finally, wheel was in there first, burros, then a wheel. Then what? Then finally steamers, wagons, automobiles, today airplanes. So the application of the principle or the cause has changed tremendously, but the principle or the cause still remains the same. And the same is with life here. Those messiahs brought different ideas at different times according to the development of the humankind, where they might understand it and apply it. So the principle is still the same as it was in the beginning, you might say, but the application of it has changed. Even in our own country here, from 1900 to this date, many changes have taken place. We no longer do things as we did in 1900, 1905, 1910, and so on. Yet the principle remains the same. In 1910, 1905, up in those days, we didn't have to have street sweepers. The ladies had skirts long enough to sweep the street as they were walking. They were dragging on the streets. But today, those skirts wear above the knees. Pretty soon they'll go even higher. They keep on pulling them up, see? And then, it was immoral before that. But is it immoral today? Quite moral, quite well accepted. Not by the men alone, but also by the ladies. Things have changed. We also find that same thing taking place in many, many other phases of our life, not only in the USA, but all over the world. But you'll never get rid of the principle. Neither will you ever get rid of nature. You'll always have to look back to her and learn the second and next lesson. You'll always have to look to her for the necessities of life. And that nature is independent of you in a way, because you separated yourself from it. But it is part of you, and you are part of it. And while it's in effect here and in effect everywhere, among all forms, it has never and never can separate it from the cause. Can never separate from the cause, which most people in the religious field call God. This God doesn't only manifest through you and I. He manifests through that flower, through that blade of grass, through everything that you see. Or you might say, what manifests through this rostrum here that I stand before? What does manifest through this rostrum? Man. Why do I say man? In the first place, this wood was manifesting and still is the Creator. Without the Creator, this tree would have not grown. But a man came along and got an idea. And he cut the tree down. And he made this rostrum out of it. So I'm standing before man's creation. This rostrum represents man. So does everything else represent the Creator the same way, regardless what name you give to that Creator. And we are so equipped in our total makeup that we actually have the potential of our Father, the Creator. And we should be able to understand it, know something about ourselves in relation to this Creator or the Father, that we too should be able to say right now, if Jesus says, I, as you see me, representing the Father, but I do nothing, but it's the Father that works through me. For the cause is hidden in this case called human body. It's the cause is so well hidden and yet keeps working that if you disagree with the principles that to a great degree, when you eat the food, you're going to have an indigestion. If a mother conceives and she's going to have an offspring, it's that same Creator working there again. that you can see to bring forth that little form that later you will call a daughter or a son. The knowledge of all of that is present. We don't have to look up there or down there. It's right there, closer than the breath you breathe. And again, the space people know that, because when they look upon each other, they look upon a manifestation, and they are, with an acknowledgement that they are looking upon a manifestation of a creator that represents the creator, the father of all creation. If we all were fully aware and have lived that way, this would indeed be a heaven right here now. And it'll make no difference. This is already a heaven also. Because it tells you, swear not by the heaven, which is the sky, for that's the Father's throne, nor by the earth, for that's his footstool. The Creator created both of these, ups and downs, as we saw. Then what kind of a place are we really living in? Some people say, I want to go to Venus. I want to go here, I want to go there. This world is an awful mess. I don't want it. It's a hard place to live in. But who made it hard? It is you and I. We fail to recognize the holiness, if you want to use that word, that already waited us when we entered. For the Creator could not create anything lesser than himself. You worship God, but you don't worship the house he built for you to live in. That's just like a myself. I might have a strong feeling that I can build a palace. I have never built any buildings, but I have a feeling I could build a palace. So one day, I have a chance to do so. And I have built that kind of a palace that I had feeling that I could do. Well, that satisfied me and proved to my mind that what the feeling I had was right, because I finally created as palace. But I have no use for it. That's all that I wanted to create the palace for, to prove to myself that I could do it. Now I have no use for it. I equipped it with all that palace calls for. So it's really the finest palace that you'd want to ever see. But it's a shame to let it empty. Brand new building, brand new furnishings, everything, and I don't want to live in. So I go along the street, I find a little shack there that was chicken coop one time, and I walk into that shack and I see a young couple just starting out in life. And I said, pardon me, but I just built the palace, I've got my rewards, I need no others, no thanks or nothing, and I don't think it'd be right to leave that palace empty. Would you take it if I give it to you? I'd be glad to. So I give it to them. And they move in. 2 years later, I'm coming back. And I want to see how they get along. It's to my surprise to see them living still the chicken coop idea. Why? They never learned how to live in the palace. But that doesn't make the palace any lesser than it is. It's still a palace. We are living in a heaven, and we have never recognized it, so we made a hell out of it, but it's still a heaven. Thank you.
Question.